So yesterday we resumed. Welcome back. Yesterday we resumed with the halachas, with hilchos halavavos, talking about birkas hanenin, and we went from birkas hanenin to the topic of hakaras hatov, and we said how hakaras hatov is the most basic faculty within man that you first start developing in respect to other people, and once you've trained yourself in developing hakaras hatov in respect to other people, then you're able to develop the same sense of hakaras hatov towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu. מי יודע אם לא הזיקה על הבורא המקננת בלב כל אדם בריא מהותה היא הכרס הטוב. He says, who knows, but what he thinks, Ba'alisha, welcome back. What the Alisha thinks is that desire that we have to connect to Hashem, whenever you tap into the desire to connect to Hashem, what is that exactly? What's happening within you? It's a deep sense of gratitude to Hashem. Meaning, your soul recognizes that by itself it's nothing. All it is what Hashem chooses to shine upon you. Your desire to be close to Hashem is the recognition that everything emanates from Him. In fact, your very being here in this world is only an emanation of Hashem. It's Hashem willing you into existence. And you recognizing that is your point of connection to Hashem. The moment if you think you're independent, if you think you don't need Hashem, that's where you disconnect from Hashem. The moment you recognize, I'm only here because Hashem's thinking about me, and I'm recognizing that I come from Hashem, that's where you connect to Him. So the way that you feel close to Hashem is from recognizing that you come from Hashem. That's your point of connection to Him. So he says, so who knows? Our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're able to feel within our hearts emanates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So someone who's an ingrate, who's not able to feel gratitude, he's not able to express gratitude, it's likely that he won't feel any sense of gratitude towards Hashem. It's very unlikely that he'll feel any closeness with Hashem. A person is able to express and genuinely feel towards other people gratitude. You know, he did for me, he did me a toiva, I owe him a favor, thank you so much, I appreciate so much what he did to me. And then he feels a kara towards that person. He'll be able to also feel a kara to Hashem. You know what, the Rabbonu Shalom, the Ibrish, you know what he did for me? He gave me my life, he gave me everything that I have, especially now it's easier to feel when things are taken away, now they're being given back slowly but surely. We're able to feel more and more a kara to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we feel the closest to Him. So this is the path of how to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person's trying to work on davening and open his heart towards davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and feel closeness, then recognizing the good that Hashem has given you, not just like listing it, but like deeply recognizing, all of my life without it, where does it come from? And then recognizing it comes from Hashem. That's the way that a person can feel that closeness. Chedvat ha-chaim. Vahit pa'alut al pele ha-olam mitoreret hakarat ha-tov kalpei mishnatan lanu et ha-chaim va-olam. The person wishes to have joy in life. The person wishes to have enthusiasm in life. Where it emanates from is when a person awakens his gratitude towards the one who gave it to him, where it comes from. איך נחיה ונהנה מעולם השיר זה יום יום רגע רגע מבלי להודות עבור כל זאת. How can you even imagine having pleasure from the world without recognizing where it comes from? I mean, it's a very clear thing that people who are self-centered, then their pleasure is extremely short-lived. And people who are other-centered, they recognize everything comes from others, and they're always in a sense of amazement and wonderment about all that's happened to them and all the good that happens to them. They're constantly in a state of joy. Because the person is self-centered. His mind usually is, why didn't he do this for me? Why didn't he do that for me? And you can't control the way others relate to you. So all you could do is complain about how others relate to you. And that's what a person who's self-centered would notice. If my happiness depends on them making me happy, and they're not making me happy, it's their fault. And then a person doesn't feel happy. But when a person is always noticing whatever they're giving him, and what they've granted him, and how he's not really worthy of it, but he's so grateful about it, then he's always noticing and appreciating the good. He's in a constant state of happiness, even if a lot's taken away. Even if he's missing a knot, but he'll be noticing the hakaras hatov. And this point is so true. Always in your life, there will be things that are good happening to you and bad happening to you. That's always going to be. Objectively. Good and objectively bad things are always happening to you. So if your happiness depends on what's happening to you, then you're floating like a wind, like a leaf in the wind. Good thing happened. Oh, wow. Bad thing. Oh, down. Like the leaf goes up and down. But if you say, okay, there's bad that happens, then a good that happens. What do I choose to focus on? What am I going to make a big deal out of? What am I going to notice? Hakarat hara or karat hatov, that's your choice. If you notice the bad, your world will be full of bad. It's there, and you're choosing to make a big deal out of it. You're choosing to notice it. That will become what your world is full of. If you're noticing the good, your world will be filled with that good because you're noticing and you're paying attention to it. When a person starts only noticing good, then he starts to realize that even what other people would call bad is actually good as well. I mean, it looks like bad on a superficial level. But when your mindset is always in tune with finding the good things that are there, then even when something bad happens, and other people will say, oh, that's bad, and you've ruled it out as bad. But because you're looking for good, you'll initially say, I don't know how to relate to this. I can't find any good there, I don't know how to relate to that. You'll put it on hold. Okay, it's on hold. I'll come back to it. Tzarech iyun on that bad there. We'll see what happens. And then eventually, as the things develop, you'll start, you know what? Actually, what a serendipity that was. It looked initially like it was bad, but actually, look, taka, at the end it was good. Now the person who was hakarat hara, he ruled that out as bad from the beginning, so it remained bad. The person who's always looking for good, what's obviously good, he notices. And he thanks Hashem for, and he feels thanks to Hashem and close to Hashem. What initially looks like it's bad, he just says, I don't understand that, I'll leave it there for a minute. And eventually, with time, as he notices, actually, what good came out of it, and it could be a small thing, but he'll notice that, and then he'll have a karstov to Hashem with that as well. And then that person will be constant, and he's being realistic. He's not being realistic. He's not pretending the world is beautiful and really all these bad things are happening. He's saying, what's bad, initially I recognize it's bad, and if I'm choosing not to focus on it, I'll wait till I recognize what good comes out of it, and then I'll pay attention. And then I'll make a big deal. Then I'll be enthusiastic about it. He's being realistic. But everyone who's being realistic is always filtering. And you choose what to filter on. Those realistic, down-to-earth, rational people, they're just focusing on bad. They're not being any more less filtering than the positive people. Everyone's filtering. They just, in the name of rationalizing, they say, I'm being rational. I just want to be honest there. I just have to be, you know, straightforward. Everything. So they're also filtering. They're just filtering and noticing the bad in life. Hakasatov is when you notice the good. Avoda gadola chivanu chazal, levarech mea brachos b'yom. Lachzor mea pamim b'yom ala emet. And what's the emet? You know, it's amazing that he uses the word emet, no? Because if we just said there's good and bad in the world, so what's emet? What's emet? So emet is there's good and bad. But once you're coming from a Kodesh Baruch Hu's perspective, emet is that everything is good. Everything is good once you notice the good in it. And when you're paying attention to realize Hashem's hand in everything, then it's all good. Because we're not defining good and bad by convenient and inconvenient for me at this moment. If you're defining good and bad as what's convenient and inconvenient at this moment, then there's a lot of bad in the world. There's a lot of bad. Because there's a lot of things that aren't the way that I wanted them to be initially. And they're inconvenient for me at this moment. But if you're defining good as things going the way Hashem wants them to go, even if I don't understand them initially, but it's God's plan, then everything is good. Right? That doesn't mean I can recognize it as good at this moment, because I'm limited in my vision. But in Hashem's vision, it's all good. But we're looking for emet. And what is emet? Ki Hashem Elokeinu hu melech haolam. That Hashem is running the world. And He's our God and He cares about us. And when you're making brachos and renewing that mindset every day, you'll start to notice all that good, which even if it doesn't seem as good to you, but it's good as well. You know, I heard an amazing story. I maybe told you this. But I quoted it recently. I can't remember where I quoted it. I think it was my Leila said actually, so no one heard it. So there was a story. There was a family who were in the Holocaust, and it got to the part of the Haggadah, maybe Vihi Sha'amda or Ilu Lo Hotziyanu Ayinu Meshubadim, one of those points. And the boy said to his father, "But Dad, what we have today is worse than what we had then." They started going through all the things that they were going through, and they realized that what they had actually was much worse. It wasn't better than in Mitzrayim. What they had in the middle of the Holocaust was worse than what they had in Mitzrayim. So the father said to him, "You know, did we say the bracha of Shelo Asani Aved? Do we still say that? Or are we Avadim now?" The son says, "Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe we should stop saying. We are Avadim. Maybe we should stop saying the bracha of Shelo Asani Aved." So the father said to him, "So maybe our body is being subjugated. But since we came out of Mitzrayim and Hashem gave us the Torah, we're only truly avadim to Hashem." And the father told a long mashal. I told the mashal of the coming rich and becoming poor and becoming rich again. It was poor and rich and poor again. I did. Some faces yes, some faces no. So I'll tell it quickly again. There was a fast forward version. There was someone who was poor. He became rich and then he became poor again. The day that he became rich, he made a Suddhas Hodaya. And on the anniversary of that day, every day, he'd made a Suddhas Hodaya every year. When he became poor again, he continued to make a Suddhas Hodaya on the anniversary of becoming rich. And his kids didn't understand. "Dad, you lost all your money. Why are you still celebrating to Hashem on the day that you became rich? You lost all your money. Like, don't have it anymore." And he says, "Why do you think I wanted money to begin with? Do you think I wanted money to be rich? I wanted money because I wanted to send you to Talmud Torah. I wanted to send you to yeshiva. And I needed money to send you to yeshiva to learn Torah. Well, when I was rich, I was able to do that. So what I wanted the money for, I accomplished. And even if I'm poor now again, it doesn't make a difference to me because I don't need that money anymore. When I needed the money, I had it. And the father said to the son who was in the Holocaust, he says, you know, before we were in Mitzrayim, we were poor. We didn't have a relationship with Hashem. We didn't have an ongoing recognition that our soul was freed because we were in line with God's will. But then we became rich and we were given the Torah. And we were given guidelines of how to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now it could be that physically we're poor now again. And we're being subjugated. In the Holocaust we're being enslaved. But we're still rich. And we still have a celebration. What's a celebration on Pesach? We're enslaved. But we're not enslaved because what we gained from receiving the Torah is that we're no longer slaves. And our soul is now subjugated to Hashem. Maybe our body is subjugated to Hidlei Yemach Shemo. But our soul is in line with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know that even in difficult situations, we can still do the will of Hashem. So that's a beautiful example of where everything around is bad. It's not convenient by any means. It's not convenient. However, if you're looking for MS, then you're looking for you being able to do the will of God in whichever situation you're in. And even if external things don't enable you to do lots of things you would like to do, you're able to do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the situation you're placed in. That's what doing Mea Brochas every day gives you. Because when you say a brocha day after day after day, it renews the mindset that I'm doing the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even if things are very challenging and very hard, I'm not able to do things the way I would like to, I remind myself again and again, this is God's world, this is God's world, this is God's world. And things are going the way that God wants them to go. That's what renews itself within us. And that gives us a karas atov to Hashem. Doesn't mean things are easy or pleasant or comfortable, but we're noticing the good. We're noticing this is the will of Hashem and this comes from Hashem. Yisoda avoda azot. Hakarat HaTov. The essence of making brochos is us coming to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our gratitude towards Him. Umidah zu einu nifredet lechalek sheben adam l'makom or ben adam l'chavero. You can't be within yourself, I have gratitude towards people, but not to Hashem. You can't say I have gratitude towards Hashem, but not to people. It works hand in hand. You either are or you're not. Either you develop the muscle of gratitude or you haven't developed it. But you'll be able to develop it much easier towards other people. Therefore, it's worthwhile doing the exercise that we spoke about yesterday of finding someone that you want to tell them what good they did to you and mentioning it to them and telling them and writing them a letter and speaking it out with them, where you develop your sense of having gratitude towards a person, because that will enable you to feel closer to Hashem. As you develop the muscle of gratitude towards them, you'll be able much more easily to feel gratitude towards Hashem. And therefore, if you want to work on brachos, then the external way of working on it is learning what the words mean and saying it slowly with an understanding of what you're saying and not being distracted doing other things. That's the external. But the internal, what you're working on, what you're working towards, what your emotion is, what you're feeling it, is I'm now entering a zone of feeling gratitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as you enter that zone, and then you say the bracha, it takes you to a different place. Do you just say the bracha and you're hoping, what am I supposed to get from this? I'm not sure, I'll just say the words. Then it's unlikely you'll get to a place of connection with Hashem. But if you go into it with the mindset of, I feel, I'm amazed that Hashem gave this to me, and I'm so grateful. So sometimes I feel on Friday night. I don't know why I dafka then, but when I was singing on Friday night, especially now, like everyone's singing together, maybe we'll experience it this Friday night, when everyone's singing together and singing the Chadodi, and people have come here from all over the world, and everyone's come here with the same purpose, of coming to grow in Avodas Hashem and to learn Torah. And you see this kibbutz galios of people who are like-minded people on the same wavelength, all wanting to grow. And they're all singing together the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I often feel then a great sense of Hakaras HaTov that I'm part of this. That here I am, Baruch Hashem, in this room together with these people who are all over the Hashem, who all care about making, singing the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From all over the world, they've gathered together just for this purpose of learning Hashem's Torah and singing the praise of Hashem. That's a moment there, and especially I feel it on Yom Narayim. That's even more like a sense of Malchus Hashem. But also on Friday night I feel it. And it's a sense of like a feeling of gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you have that sense, and then you go into a brocha from that you know, mindset, and that perspective, you're able to feel the closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Pasuk in Yeshayahu says, מכתב לחזקיה מלך יהודה בכל יום ויחיה מכל יום. אני אמרתי בדומי ימי אליך ושערי שאול, פקדתי יתר שנותיי, אמרתי לא ירא השם בארץ החיים. And our dad comments, אמרתי לא ירא השם, that when חזקיהו was sick and he was healed, he said, I said to myself, I'll never see השם. פירוש רבינו סעדיה, עניין הודעה. He had gratitude towards השם. ונכון הוא, and says the Radak, this is a correct interpretation. Ki ro'ot hakel hu ahoda'a v'ashevach lefanav v'hitbonen bedrachav. So there's a pasuk that says seeing Hashem. What does it mean seeing Hashem? You can't see Hashem. He doesn't have a body. He doesn't have a form. So when Chizkiyahu HaMelech says, I thought I would never be able to see Hashem again. What was he referring to? So you could say he was referring to the Beis HaMikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world is expressed through the Beis HaMikdash. But the way Rav Sadia Gaon and Rav Adak quotes it, explains it, is that seeing Hashem doesn't mean physically seeing Hashem, but rather it's a perspective, like we've been speaking about. It's your mindset. You're able to see everything as emanating from Hashem. That's what seeing Hashem means in the Pasuk. You're able to see it as coming from Hashem. So when Chizkiyahu HaMelech was healed, and he said, I thought I would never be able to see Hashem again, he meant, I thought I would never be able to recognize that everything that's happening in the world is emanating from Hashem. And that's an expression of Hakara Tov. That's you noticing Hashem, recognizing it's Him. Hakara of the one who is Tov, of Hashem. Recognizing Him, seeing Hashem in the world. Nifla Me'od. If you contemplate this idea of what the Sadia Gaon says, it's amazing. Ech ubama ro'im et Hashem mamash. How do we actually see Hashem? By contemplating the good that Hashem does for us, recognizing that it comes from Him, you're able to see Hashem and feel that closeness to Him. That's one of the most amazing things that Chazal made this takana. Tamid al yedei yitzira. Ein kalal olam megubash va'atik lefaneinu ele yom yom sha'a sha'a b'riya chadasha. Kol asher einenu ro'ot v'kol hana'a sha'anu tomim. Like you say, I remember I met someone once, and they said to me, a Zionist person, an old person, they said to me, you see this hand? So I said, yes. So you see this hand? I said, yes. This hand shook Ben Gurion's hand. I said, whoa. And I said, and they said to me, you know what he said to me? I said, what did he say? He said, Chevra, Tzionut ze lo lishaer b'chutz aretz. Tzionut ze aliyah. Because this was these people, these Chevra, yeah, these are all like the Zionists who live overseas. I never got that term. The Zionists who live overseas. So he said, Ben Gurion said to them, Zionism isn't living overseas. Zionism means you make aliyah. Anyway, this person, for them, like that moment was a moment in their life, which they're living constantly. You see this hand? And the way they said it, I was such enthusiastic. You see this hand? Now, that doesn't work in the same way that Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's some people who have that. There's some people who had a life experience, which for them, they can go back to and they can say, that life experience keeps me going till this day. Keeps me inspired till this day. I once heard an amazing story. There was an old man who davened with Kavana for many years, who after many years came to his Rebbe, and he said to him, Rebbe, I need some chizuk. And the Rebbe said, like, for all these years, you've been fine. Like, how come now you need a chizuk? What changed? So he said, well, when I was younger, I was almost drafted in the communist army. And when they called me to come, and I was like online there, before I was able to get out of it, but when I was online there, they said, the Tsar is coming! And everyone was trembling. The Tsar is coming! Everyone was trembling. And the Tsar came. And we were all standing there, and I felt the sense of rida. I was my body was trembling. I felt hadrat kavod. And the Baruch Hashem, I was able to get out of the Tsar's army. But every time I come to Davin, my mind took me back to that moment where I stood there and the Tsar was coming and everyone was overtaken by this fear and this awe. And every time I came to Davin, I thought of that. And that kept me going for about 50 years. But recently, it hasn't been doing it for me so much. So I came for chizuk. And the rabbi was blown away that a person could have like one memory that I kept him going so long in Avodas Hashem. He was able to go back to that moment in his imagination, and he was able to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu through that point. The natural way is not like that you see this hand or the Tsar. The natural way is we need constant relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like we spoke about this last month, that something which is dead doesn't need to be upgraded. You know, if you have a coin, right, which is a precious coin, and you put it in the safe, and you lock the safe, then it's there. It's okay. If you want, now and then you can check if it's still there, but it's okay. How's your relationship with your coin going? What do you mean relationship with the coin? It's in the bank. I'm not doing anything with it. But you can't do the same with your child. I put my child in bed, put him to sleep, and then I went off to work, and I'll come back in 20 years, and I'll see how he's doing. What do you mean how much my child's doing? I said goodnight to him 20 years ago, and like, well, everything's okay. No. It's a live relationship. A dead relationship, like a coin, a domem, that you don't have to invest into how the relationship goes. But a live relationship, you have to constantly be investing for the relationship to be alive. Our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, having Hakaras HaTov, doesn't work that like, on your bar mitzvah, you said a speech. I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for bringing me here this day, and I thank my parents, and I thank my grandparents, and I thank the rabbi, and I thank the bar mitzvah teacher, and I thank all my mother's friends who helped put all the food together, and thank you very much to everyone. But all in all, I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for bringing me this day. It doesn't work that you said that speech once of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all your kavana that you had, your bar mitzvah. And it keeps you going with your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the next 40 years. I can tell you, I'm 14 now, right? And my bar mitzvah speech was a long time ago. I needed extra things. It didn't keep me going. I had to keep working on it. Therefore, Chazal in the infinite wisdom said, you have to say Hashem's name 100 times a day. The takana of the brachos, of mea brachos hayom, is the knowledge that Chazal gave over to us. The relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's moment to moment. If you're investing in the relationship, at that moment you have it. But if you stop investing in it, it's not there. It's not something which keeps going. It's something which you have to be constantly investing in order for it to be there. You know what it's like when you have one of those screens which fade out? You have to keep pressing the screen to make sure that you can still read, or like scrolling down. You know what that happens to you? Like, you're in the middle of doing something and then someone talks to you and you're like, no. Like you don't lose the page and it's going to fade out in a minute. So like, you're talking to them, but you're going up and down now here and there with your hand just to make sure that you're not going to lose this. Like, it's going to, if your relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're not constantly investing in it, it's not going to keep going. So Chazal came and they said, we'll help you, we'll make it easy for you. Make 100 brachos a day, and that way you're always focused. If you understand that's what the goal is. A person can make 100 brachos a day without focusing on this point. This point is so important. There's always two things. There's the action that you're doing, and there's the mindset that you're doing it with. If you do the action without the mindset, it does not accomplish the goal. So the action is the saying of the bracha. The mindset is, I recognize that everything comes from Hashem, and I appreciate that, and I recognize it, and I feel gratitude towards Him. I thank you, Hashem. And you're in a mindset of appreciation. A bit like I said that I sometimes feel on Friday night when I'm so grateful to be part of this Kehillah, this community of Ovdei Hashem. You have a sense of gratitude that you feel. I feel gratitude to be part of Ovdei Hashem, people learning Torah. Thank you Hashem for bringing me here to this environment. You have a sense of gratitude. So there's the action that you do and there's the mindset. If you do the action without the mindset, you got the mitzvah, but you missed the point of the mitzvah. Like, you know, it's like a teacher who says, did you say thank you? Yes, I said thank you. Thank you. Did you? I remember clearly as a boy doing something wrong. Numerous occasions, and having been told to say sorry. Sorry. No, say sorry, like, and mean it. I'm really sorry. Okay, good. Like, what do you mean? That you can't, you can command an action, but you can't command a mindset. You can't command it. HaKadosh Baruch Chazal came along and said, say you appreciate Hashem. Baruch Hashem, Kem Rechalam Befraetz. No. Say you appreciate Hashem, and mean it. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech haolam borei peri ha'etz. What were you thinking when you said that? I was thinking, this is really annoying that I have to say it slowly to make as if like I have kavanah. Was that loud enough? Did I say it loud enough? Did someone notice how well I said that? I don't know what you're thinking, but are you thinking about gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If you have the mindset, then it will work. It's an action which the goal of the action is to connect to Hashem. It's a simple system. This action connected to Hashem, if you have the mindset. If you don't have the mindset, it won't connect to Hashem. There's no point. It's not true. There's no point. There's practice. There's practice. If you're saying it without the mindset, you're practicing. But it's not the goal. It's not the intention. God did not intend to make you suffer. You're going to say endless words your whole life without any intention and just like mumble and mumble and mumble and mumble like throughout your life. That was not God's intention. His intention was, here's something which if you say it with kavanah, you can connect to me. An invitation. He's giving you an invitation. But you have to have the mindset. Without that, the mindset, you're not going to have it. That's the beauty behind what Rav Sadia Omer was saying. Is it good? Oh. Rav Sadia Omer was saying that to see Hashem is to have the mindset of having a Karta Tov for this book. If you have that mindset, you have the opportunity and the ability to connect to Him through saying it. And that was the wisdom of Chazal. They gave us the opportunity, moment to moment, day in, day out, constantly, constantly, to have the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eino ma'alach chaludat shigra, va'ayin mitragelet lirot tamid briya mi'ayin, eino od smuyot shechacha, hakol misaviv lanu, v'anachnu ba'atzmeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechadesh b'tuvah v'chol yom tamid ma'aseh v'reshit. We could let it become habit, and we'd miss the point. But we ourselves are in this world to constantly, constantly be reconnecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the purpose of the Mea Brachos day is for that purpose. And therefore Hashem gives us pleasure. He gives us nice smells, nice food, things that we wake up in the morning, that we have clothing. He makes us that the connection that we have to Him are things that are enjoyable for us, because He wants the connection to be in a sweet way. I read an amazing article by Rabbi Matityahu Solomon. It was about chinuch. Do you know Matityahu Solomon? He was originally from England, from Gateshead, and then he moved to America, and he's a mashgiach. He's a big mashgiach in America. Where is he in?
Lakewood.
So anyway, so he writes that it's a mistake to tell kids to learn and then give them candy at the end. Because if you do that, the learning is bitter and the sweetness is finishing. It's so obvious when you hear it, right? The learning is bitter, get it finished with so that I can get to finishing it, because when you finish learning, it's pleasurable. That's what you try and do if you give a candy at the end of learning, right? So he says, you give it to them at the beginning as they're learning, so that the learning is a sweet experience. And you don't give them anything at the end because you're finished now, it's over. The sweetness is finished. He says, bring them in, have some sweets, and when they're in a good mood, right, they've tasted the sweetness, then from that good connection, then you... HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say. Hashem says, here's some good food, here's a nice smell, here's your clothing. Are you feeling comfortable? Are you feeling happy? Make a bracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have associated that you made the bracha like Baruch Dayana Emes all the time. We have a bracha Baruch Dayana Emes as well. Right? But it could have been that the brachas would be all surrounding annoying things. Could have been. Like, could you imagine that? There would be a mitzvah. Every morning, every parent shouts at his child, and the child says, Baruch Dayan Haimes. It could have had a theory. Right? It's a way of accepting upon yourself that God is a true God that I'm shouted at, but I accept it in peace. The parent shouts, the child accepts. A bracha over there. But he didn't want to do it that way. That would be the way of like giving candy when you're finished. He wanted them to do it in a sweet way. So together with their food, together with the smell, he did it in a sweet way, that you're constantly reconnected to Kadosh Baruch Hu in a sweet way. There's a Tosefta which Rashi brings in Brochos. It says, V'yivarchu Shem Kvodecha, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchotol Olam Ve'ed. V'mavarach Omer, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Min Olam Ve'ad Olam. That was the Brochos. They said, Chlum, Ela Pruzdor Lefnei Traklin. הנהיגו ברכותיו בעולם הזה כדי להיות רגילים לעולם הבא שכולו אורך. Meaning everything that we're doing in this world is just practice. All the pleasure that we're having and the praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the pleasure that we get in this world is just practice. נפלא מאוד. All our avoda in this world is to make brachas, praising Hashem for the good pleasure that we feel in this world, so that we can train ourselves that when we get to the next world, which is a world of closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without any barriers, will be ready-made, ready-trained, that we know that not only on physical pleasures do we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but as we experience the closest with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well, we're able to recognize that it comes from Him, recognize Him, and we're already used to that and be able to praise Him in that world too. If a person trains himself in this world to recognize the pleasures that he have comes from Hashem, and he praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his pleasure, he'll be able to get to the next world, and then when he experiences the pleasure of being closest with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he'll recognize who it comes from, that it's coming to him, and he'll be able to praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu for that. ומי שלא יתרגל לזה, איך ומה יהנה מזיו השכינה בעולם הבא? הלא לא יתרגל. ואתה השם, מה השם שואל ממך? מאה ברכות ביום. And therefore Hashem, Chazal and the wisdom, gave us practice. Start praising Hashem for all the pleasure you have in this world. If you start doing it now, and you attribute all the pleasure to Hashem, Hashem will give you much opportunity for having real spiritual pleasure in the next world that you'll be able to attribute back to Him. And with that, we finish the chapter on brachos. We're going to be skipping the chapter on tefillah, because Be'ez Hashem, we're going to do that in the Vaad of tefillah. And next time, tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, if there's not something else special, we'll do the chapter on kavod. Yishar koach, have a great day.